Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, hello, everybody. Do you know what? You've made it to Tuesday again. So that means it's going to be okay because it's Glamour's Hey, It's Okay. Good morning, evening. I mean, it's sort of early evening now. I guess you could be listening to this anytime, but it is another episode of Glamour's Hey, It's Okay podcast. Thank you for joining us. I am Jo Elvin. I'm the editor-in-chief of Glamour. Today, I'm joined by two marvellous women. One of whom I just can't live without, Lindsay Frankles, Glamour's deputy editor.
Thanks very much. Hello.
She does all the work.
I'm keeping the ship afloat.
And then the busiest woman in showbiz, who I am absolutely thrilled to have here today. If you haven't seen her stand up, then you need to sort your life out. It is Catherine Ryan, comedian Hello. Extraordinaire. Hello, how are you?
So nice. It's so weird to be introduced.
Do you think?
It feels very like, dun, 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 like a drum roll, and then immediately you're just hi.
But that's the thing, I sort of feel like, you know, it's worse introducing people. Because you kind of want to do it justice.
Well, yeah. Well, in Britain, usually when you're introducing another comedian, you can say any old thing and just bring them on stage. But in America, they will give you a laundry list of things like, you must say that I've won this and I've been featured on that and I've got this coming up, and then you can't even remember it when you're introducing
them. What's your laundry list? Have you been working on that?
Not at all. I mean, in real life, or what I ask people to say?
Yeah, what do you want me to say? We can do it again.
Oh, yes. You'll know me from the school run in a bathrobe. It's Crouch End's derelict mum, Catherine Ryan.
Well, as long as you're covering the North, because I've totally got that title for the South, all right? So just...
The South is where it's
back
at.
Back off, yeah.
I'm not coming to South. I can't compete with the South mums.
No.
We're like really gangs in beautiful shoes.
Imagine if they were gangs. That would make it interesting.
Idea for a film.
Yes. All right, let's get on that. Okay. So today you're here to indulge in... Now, normally, Catherine, we shove our fabulous celebrity guests in a cupboard. But you're way too important, and you've got an American Canadian accent, so I wasn't going to do that to you.
But, I mean, it's okay to say I have an American accent, because I'm from a border town in Canada, so it's very nearly America, so I don't really speak the way Canadians talk on South Park. I do have friends who talk like this, and they sound different.
See, I can't hear the differences, like, a
can't
lot,
because you?
I'm Australian, yeah. And a lot of people I know can't hear the difference between Australian and New Zealand.
Yep.
So I think it's the same thing.
Oh, but I think if you put the two accents next to each other, similar with American and Canadian, you can definitely tell the difference.
No.
The well-travelled will know.
Yes. But you're in our office today, in my Glamour office. So if you're listening and the noise is a bit weird, that's why, because sometimes you hear someone getting mugged outside, sometimes there's a bus.
There is definitely going to be some like buses arguing with each other, which always happens down this street.
And if you want to know what the inside of the Glamour offices look like, I mean, there is a really beautiful dark chocolate birthday cake around the corner, photos of celebs on the wall, Amy Schumer, David Gandy in his pants is on the wall.
David Gandy did send me his underpants with that picture.
His actual underpants.
Yeah. Oh, that's
what I tell everyone.
Yeah. He turned up in his pants to the office.
Well, you won that eBay auction fair and square.
Indeed, and I've still got them in my drawer. You're not allowed to see them. So what has surprised you about the Glamour office? What did you think it would look like?
I thought it would look exactly like this.
I made it smell nice for you today. I lit a candle.
I'm really all about smell, and I love the candle. There's a balloon in here. I mean, it seems eclectic, festive. I mean, eclectic. And look, you've got gifts from Jimmy Choo. See, this is the definite perk of being Glamour's editor-in-chief. People send you fashions.
Do you want to know what's in that Jimmy Choo box?
David Gandy's underwear.
No, although...
Jimmy Choo's underwear.
It's the most... And I love you, Jimmy Choo, but it is the most insane pair of moon boots that you've ever seen. And I haven't actually worn them anywhere because it never is snowy or warm enough to wear them here.
You must go skiing.
I must.
Wear them to hunt a Russian man.
Yeah, well, now you know something about rich Russian men, don't you?
Wow.
Yes. Did you like that? I mean...
That was a great segue.
Yes.
I feel like Donald Trump. No, I have no relationship with that man. Yes, I just wrapped a series called How'd You Get So Rich that is coming out on Channel 4 early January. And we traveled the world meeting billionaires and millionaires, men and women, and kind of snooping around their homes and cars and offices and finding out how they got so rich.
So I know a couple of really rich people, and I always find it really frustrating if they're the kind of people who just like to have a McDonald's and watch a Netflix on a Friday night rather than live the, in my feverish imagination, the lifestyle
just
that I want.
Buy islands and go and sort of helicopter somewhere for no reason. Surely that's all.
I'd probably buy Zara.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
I was thinking more like, you know, Necco Island or something, but Zara would be good too.
See, money's changed you. It hasn't changed me. So when's the series come out? What sort of surprised you the most about making it?
It surprised me that I liked everyone. I really believed that this would just be a parade of dicks, you know, daddy's money. That really winds me up in this country specifically. There's this ancestral, what's it called? Oh, there's a name for it. I can't even think of it. It's not nepotism.
Hereditary wealth, or I don't know. I'm not from here.
Well, like this sort of aristocracy. I mean, the kind of like landed gentry, and
what I thought it would be. Someone born into a portfolio of properties, and it wasn't that. It was self-made people who just had a passion for a myriad of different businesses, and they just worked and worked and worked, and accidentally became super rich. And I loved that. I thought they had a lot in common with each other. I took some skills that, you know, I could maybe use in my own life away.
Care to share?
Well, I think you concentrate first on what you know and what your passion is. Because you hate it, you're not going to want to put the hours that it takes to make it a success. And then you always put out more than you take in. So you make more than you spend, just basic maths. But these people are so busy, at least in the first 10 years, because it doesn't happen overnight, then they're not spending any money on themselves. Certainly they're investing money in the business and just working and working. Mm-hmm. And I think being really headstrong, even when people laugh at their idea, like Poundland, we had the couple who created Poundland, and after 10 years, they sold it for £50 million.
Wow.
And in the beginning, their friends were like, nobody's going to want stuff for a pound. What are you doing? Or there were products that wouldn't sell to them because they were like, well, I don't really want to be stocked in a Poundland. Yeah. And just sheer determination, Mr. Smith, the man, would go back and say, you will be stocked in Poundland. You will. And eventually they were.
Oh, my God. And that's really interesting. It's like the determination and self-belief is there. Yeah. I remember you were saying earlier that everyone had quite similar character traits.
They did.
That, you know, you recognised in each person. It's fascinating. So we just have to be really, really determined and not take no for an answer.
I suppose.
Then we'll be millionaires.
And just understand that there are people making more money than you today, people really successful, who aren't really that smart. Like, you could become president of the United States. You really could.
Well, this is what sort of like equally kind of like reassures and really annoys me.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like, how can somebody that stupid be so successful? Although he wasn't self-made, Donald Trump.
Absolutely not.
He pretends that he was, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, did you fancy any of the bazillionaires?
I hoped that I would.
Yeah.
But no, there were no sparks at all. I mean, these people are mostly married or women or, I mean...
Is that off the table? That wouldn't be a deal breaker for me. How much money are we talking about?
Well, I used to say in jest, but I think I really mean it, having been someone who has come from nothing myself and single-handedly supports myself and my daughter and who's made it in a foreign country when really we were struggling in the beginning. I think I wouldn't want to be with a man who was super rich and powerful, because I think that women, such a short time ago, didn't have any power, couldn't have a bank account, couldn't buy a property. And now we have all this commercial buying power. We can have jobs, we can box in the Olympics if we want, we can do whatever. That I kind of feel like I would feel scared if there was a man, because this is the thing, they can just have you killed and then pay a good lawyer
or just,
and get
you
off.
Know, or divorce you and suddenly you've got a completely different lifestyle overnight. It must be terrifying to be dependent on that.
They say that if you marry for money, you earn every dime.
Yeah. But it sounds like a fascinating series. And when is it coming out? Have you got an actual date?
January. We haven't got an actual date right now. Though, I mean, maybe we do.
Look,
just check your
people.
Local listings.
It's a learning experience. How did you get so rich? Is that what it's called?
How'd you get so rich?
But what about you? How did you get so successful? You're doing so brilliantly well. I saw your stand-up show in summer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was packed out and everybody was killing themselves laughing.
Thank you for coming to that.
And you killed it at the Glamour Women of the Year Awards when you presented on stage. There was something featured about going down on your grandmother, which Susan Sarandon then picked up on later on.
She did me a favor, didn't she?
Yeah.
Well, Susan Sarandon callback. Yes. Well, that's really a bit about ageism, Jo.
And I'm sorry, I knew there was a message there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, again, I just, I worked in an office at Fashion and Beauty Monitor, actually, when I first
did
came here.
Did you?
Yeah, you are a subscriber of ours, or you were at the time. It's like an industry database for contact news and events. I did sales there, and I did a little bit of stand-up, but just as a hobby, kind of like a Zumba class. I didn't think that it could be a career. But I always valued comedy in the home growing up in an Irish family. I think if you want someone to talk to you, then you have to have something worth saying. You have to sit at the table and be part of a conversation and to be funny in my family.
And you have to be able to take the jabs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was valued. And then just little by little, people go, oh, you came out of nowhere. Well, again, like nobody comes out of nowhere. I've been doing stand-up 11 years. And then slowly but surely, I found an audience and people started responding to what I did. When my daughter Violet was born, I was acutely aware that if I put her in a daycare and went and worked in an office every day, I mean, I don't know how single moms do that because you spend as much on childcare as you're earning at work.
Yeah.
I didn't understand how that would happen. So I just thought, okay, I'll stay home with her all day and then I can do gigs at night where she's either asleep or I can take her maybe. And then I just figured out, it sounds so simple, but I was like, I'm going to have to do this really, really well if I want to support us.
I think you need to write a book about fearlessness. I can't imagine having the guts to put yourself out there like that.
Yeah.
You make it sound so simple as
it
well.
It was really simple.
Was
well,
it?
It's simple.
It sounds very hard work.
When the choice is like starve or do this, then it is really simple.
Yeah.
I just had to
I think
do
you
that.
Made the right decision.
Thanks, friend.
Yeah.
Tried my best. And I couldn't go back to Canada because her dad lives here. So it was kind of like, have you seen Sally Field's movie, Not Without My Daughter?
Yeah.
It was like that.
That's a really old film. Oh my God. I worked at a teenage magazine in the 90s when I reviewed that film. But anyway, yes.
What'd you think of it as a teenager?
I can't remember.
5 stars?
Yeah. I probably did. I gave everything 5 stars. That was too nice. Today, Catherine, we're going to be debating. We always debate very serious topics on this, as I'm sure, as an avid listener, you know.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to talk about pessimism. And hey, is it okay to be a pessimist? And I think accepted wisdom is no. It's, you know, that's very negative, and you don't want to be that way. But I've kind of just realized lately that that's just my default setting for everything. And I'm wondering what you think, because I think as a comedian, I think the most successful comics often do come from their jokes, come from a point of pain or from a point of at least sarcasm or wry observation. And I'm wondering, so do you come at it from that point of view?
Well, I think even though comedians, myself included, sometimes have material that it comes from pain, we're very optimistic, even in the moment, about that pain, because something terrible happened and you'll hear a comic go, oh, but I might get a joke out of this. You know, anything terrible. Some of the most award-winning Edinburgh shows are about dead family members. And you'll go, oh, well, I might get a joke out of this. It's fine. And I think you're maybe being hard on yourself because I don't see you as a pessimist in, like, areas of your life. You look really positive and, like, happy and fresh.
It's all a sham. It's all lies, yeah? Catherine.
You're really friendly. Is it just, like, are you medicated?
Yeah, no. What I think it is I think I'm always... And I think this job as well, Lindsay, you can tell me if you agree, it relies, the success of the job relies on the willingness of so many other people to work with you to see your vision. And I don't just mean in the magazine, I mean photographers, I mean celebrities, I mean, you know, yeah. contributors like yourself. You know, I don't have a good podcast if people like you don't say, yeah, okay, I'll do it. So I'm always sort of preparing for the no's and the bad news and the worst case scenario, because I've always thought that that means if I'm prepared for the worst, I'll be pleasantly surprised. And I think that's the general MO of a pessimist.
I also think that if you... I'm a big fan of the backup plan, because I sort of assume that I can't assume everything's going to go swimmingly. So I think, well, if it all falls apart, at least I know what I'm going to do. And I think that is because so much, as you say, in this job, but in loads of jobs... Everything hinges on this, like, magic moment of everything working perfectly at the same time. And I just am so... I guess it's a case of not resting on your laurels. Maybe it's not about imagining the worst or expecting the worst all the time, but just I'm always aware of not just kicking back and going, well, that's fine. And also we work in a world that's ever-evolving as well, so we kind of always have to think, you know, we can't just sit back and go, well, we've done it. We've got it. We've got this nailed. You've kind of always got to assume that somebody else is going to come in and do this better than you, or something might go horribly wrong. I mean, I'm sounding like a right old misery now. I know that.
but Catherine, if you had a backup plan about your career, it might not have happened. Do you know what I mean? It might, if you'd said, you know, if the comedy doesn't work out, I'll go back to Fashion Diary and Monitor. And,
well, it did have that backup plan. Yeah. And I think that it sounds like you've evolved to hope for the best but plan for the worst because of past experiences in your career or in your life. Things do fall apart.
I think it's just a recent thing where I think that it's a lot of energy wasted on always assuming something bad's going to happen.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas I used to think that that was really smart to always be prepared for something bad, but actually you just find that you've got this low level irritation all the time and disappointment when maybe you didn't need to have it. So I used to think that optimists were really naive, and now I think that I'm the one who's missed the trick.
I'm just getting very serious. I think you're just hardwired one way or the other. I don't think I could force myself. I don't think I'm not optimistic, but I think I'm just hardwired in a certain way. And I think those sort of basic things, like whether you're an optimist or a pessimist, is just part of your character. And maybe you change as you learn different things, or you feel more confident, or you, I don't know, do you ever get to a point where you feel like you know what you're doing?
Here's an example, and this is like, this will be going out after the American election, which as we do this is a few days away.
Oh no.
I really hope that Hillary Clinton is the next American president. The pessimist in me is like, well, 2016 has just been so on brand with the misery and the shock results and the horrible things.
Yeah.
That
I feel like I learned my lesson the last time.
I'm bracing for the Donald in every way. So it'll be interesting to see which way that goes.
Well, I think that it's all right to be a realist, and that's really pragmatic, and it's fine, and it's a smart way to live your life. But they say sometimes that your inner critic becomes your coach, so you must be careful of those voices that say, I'm hardwired like this, I'll never change, or this won't happen, or that, because then there are people who believe that you manifest that. And I used to say, I have this boyfriend, and he was from a different religion and a different country, and I'd say, you know, I've had it not work out in the past, so I need to think about the future. If this doesn't work out, then we'll have issues with you being in a different country, and if my children are American, then you could take them from me, and also this...
Because you were watching that Sally Field
film. I was watching that Sally Field that wrote on the canvas of who I am today, Joe, that movie, and that's it. Yeah. I really think about that film a lot. And
for anyone who doesn't know, it's like Sally Field was married to a man in, I think, Iran.
Yeah.
And when he took her there for a holiday, but the whole plan, all along was that he was going to keep the children there and keep her there. And then she found that she had no rights in Iran and couldn't take her children back. And so ends up being smuggled out of the country with her children. That's spoilers, it. Spoilers. But no one's going to watch it. I just need to tell them what it was.
Please watch it. But I ended up manifesting the end of that relationship because he was like, why are you always talking about what's going to go wrong? Like, what if it goes well? And then everything did go wrong. Now, perhaps I saved myself a Sally Field battle 10 years from now. Who knows?
Exactly.
We'll never know. But I think you should. You can be an optimist and also a realist.
I like the idea of asking, what if it goes well?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm going to really try that. Can I phone you next week?
Of course.
And you can just say, but what if it goes well?
But we don't want to be caught with our pants down. And if Donald Trump if Supreme Leader President Trump is now ruling America, then who knows? Maybe he'll surprise us all and do an awesome job and save the world and not be the racist misogynist we fear he is.
I want to drink whatever you're drinking.
I know, I was going to say. Like a human magic unicorn.
Yeah. You know Giles Brandreth?
No.
Oh, yes.
He is a former conservative MP, an unlikely character for me to be friends with. He's basically the white man. But I really love him.
I'm surprised you're friends with him.
I love him.
Do you?
And he said to me, very little matters. No. What was it? It is nothing matters very much and very little matters at all. It's true.
I'm going to get that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your motivational quote. Thanks, Catherine.
You're welcome.
I needed that.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, now this topic, I suspect this "Hey, it's okay" question, it might upset some people, but I think we need to talk about this. And it's meant with lightheartedness, but I suppose there is a serious thing behind it. But hey, is it okay to be embarrassed by correct anatomical terms? Like, is it okay to be embarrassed by calling your vagina a vagina? I've just said that in front of a room full of people.
I know. You're looking at me quite intently.
Thank you. Like... Yeah, that felt like a breakthrough moment.
So it's okay. You're saying, is it okay to be embarrassed by the word vagina?
And I know that someone's going to yell at me on Twitter about this for sure.
Someone's going to yell at you on Twitter no matter what. So you might as well. True. It's most probably going to be a man being like, I'd love to see your vagina. That's usually what we get.
Well, I can just preempt that saying, no, you wouldn't.
No.
But, I don't like seeing it. I don't want anyone else to see it. But anyway.
You know what they like more than that is if you tweet bare feet. That's what they want.
Bare feet?
Yeah, it's the new vagina.
Oh, that's interesting. I did have a foot person for a while.
Just block them right away.
Because I'm a fashion mag editor,
this
guy kept coming up going, what shoes are you wearing today? So I was going, oh, you know, block heel, Manolo, blah, blah, blah. It took me ages to work out that for him it was a sex thing.
Yeah, he was kind of enjoying this a bit too much.
Going along.
Engaging.
I was.
Love it.
Yeah. But
anyway, back to vaginas.
Yeah.
The problem with it is it's just not very easy word, is it? Vagina.
That's the thing. I'm not ashamed of being a woman in any way. But it's just, it's an odd word, isn't it?
It's a strange word.
Yeah.
And it's not something that you kind of say. I mean, I don't know. The kind of the idea of having like cutesy terms for one's vagina also sits a bit weird with me. That kind of like, oh, is your foo-foo or your flower or whatever it was. Someone mm-hmm. was saying in the office earlier that a friend of hers calls her daughters her flower, which she found really uncomfortable. And in some ways, I sort of think, well, if you're talking about your, you know, what you say to your children, shouldn't it just be that that's what it's called? It's a vagina.
But, I know, but, that's what I try to do.
But it's it is yeah. a but then yeah. it's a horrible word to say. It's not, just not a nice word, is it?
It's not the right word though, because like vagina is a specific part of what is the labia majora and minora and the clitoris and we call vulva, all yeah. of that.
I'm just going to write this down.
There yeah. you go. Yeah. Listen, girls.
Yeah.
You got a diagram that we can.
I will draw one now. Yeah. And we call all of that one thing. That's like if men just said like, oh, you know, my scrotum. That's it's misnamed, really.
What do we call that then? I'd have very, very rarely say penis as well.
Oh, yeah. You see, at least yeah. I think the word penis is kind of...
Because it's funny, because, I mean, I have a daughter and you do, and I've never shied away from calling it that, but I noticed that she won't call it that either. And that's not something I don't think I've consciously yeah. said, oh, that's a weird word. I just yeah. think it's just...
She calls it sausage wallet.
It's the... it's the onomatopoeic quality of it. I don't know what it is.
It is a weird word, and I think yeah. the reason it feels funny to people is because we weren't used to hearing it. Just a short minute ago, people wouldn't say it, and we were meant to feel shame and embarrassment about that. And, I mean, even doctors wouldn't really say it to you, mm. and it's got the wrong name. So there are all these reasons why it feels like this new horrible word, mm. like moist. Some people hate that word.
Yeah, yeah. I don't care about moist.
I don't care about any word.
Moist. Good. I don't like pussy.
Don't you?
I don't like it.
Is that because it has a connotation of being a wimp?
No, I mean in terms, in reference to, I just, the idea of it being described as a rather stinky animal, I find a bit, yeah.
My pussy smells lovely. She's like, just always cleans herself and she's.
You're talking
like,
about your cat now, yeah. not your vagina.
Well, both. I mean, but my cat. I love cats. I mean, I like my cat.
I don't mind them, yeah.
Do you have a pussy allergy?
No.
Just allergic to the word.
Just allergic to that word. And especially since, again, I don't mean to keep going on about it, but Donald Trump talked about grabbing pussies.
Oh, it's like, I know.
It's such a word that men use.
Okay. It's a bit of a man porn word,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
That men that jumped into the news broadcast, remember? Mm. I was like, fuck her in the pussy. And then that became a thing, a meme for men to jump into a woman... reading the news and go, fuck her in the pussy.
Yeah.
It is a kind of a violent male ownership type
yes,
word.
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
So I don't know what to call it. I'm just going to keep on pretending
it's not
there.
I was going to say, what word
there.
Should we use? Yeah, no. Just pretend it doesn't exist.
So you don't have a word that you... I mean, I think that maybe Glamour could pioneer a new word.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, I have to woman up and, you know, and just get
just
over that
word.
Just
deal with the word.
But, how about the glam sandwich?
God, I can see the brand extensions. I can see the cafe, everything that's going to come along with that.
My daughter calls it bijou.
Really?
Bijou.
She came up with
glamorous.
That. I think so.
And she came up with that herself.
She did. And it's not even bijou, like you would say it in French. She calls it the bijou, like emphasis on B. Oh, yeah, they can see my bijou. And I love that.
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
Bijou.
I think maybe I'm slightly phobic about saying vagina, although I've said it a lot now in this
good.
In this
I know. I feel like you're owning that word.
It's like my old nanny from years ago, who I'm not going to name because she's going to hate me for telling the story. It was like she was pregnant. Yeah, let's call her Regina. She had to go to the doctor while she's pregnant, and I was in the car with loads of other people, including a couple of guys who I didn't know very well. And I said, "So how was it?" And she said, "Oh, it was fine. The doctor said I had an infection in my vagina."
Oh.
And I sort of like let out a bit of a titter. And so she said, so how am I supposed to say it? And I was like trying to whisper into the phone, vagina. And I kept progressively have to get louder and louder and go, vagina, like this. And so then everybody in the car looked at me. So, yeah.
I mean, that's because now you associate it with infection. That was the trouble. If she said, like, my doctor says I have a beautiful vagina, you'd be like... good.
It's yeah. a beautiful thing. Yeah, and also slight vagina. Embarrassment in a car full of colleagues was yeah. also the next connection.
Yeah, so, but,
vagina's yeah, so. Fine. The JJ. Vag. Vajaj. Zha.
Zha. Zha. I quite like that.
Zha. Zha. What do I call it? I don't know. Like, I'm
in
very...
Australia, it's a fanny. But in America, that's the bum.
It is the... I don't know what happened yeah. on the boat.
I want to talk about patriotism, and is it okay to be patriotic? I feel a bit funny about it. And I think, I don't know if it's, and you might feel similarly, Catherine, I don't know, because I'm not from Britain and I'm from Australia, but I've lived here a long time. Yeah. I don't feel huge emotional attachment to either country. I mean, Australia's home, England's home, but I don't, when I'm talking about patriotism, I guess I'm talking about getting really excited on behalf of Jessica Ennis if she wins an Olympic gold medal. I think that's wonderful for her. What an achievement. What an amazing woman. I don't feel like part of Britain. I don't feel like...
You're not claiming anything to do with it.
I don't
think
anybody else gets ownership of that. What do you think?
I mean, I absolutely agree. We're all Commonwealth, so Britain needs us in a war, but not so much in the Olympics. They're like, you lost. We won. I don't like the sporting... my team, we've done it. It doesn't happen with anything
maybe
else.
Maybe that's more what I'm talking about. I mean, I don't mind. I don't know. I guess on the whole, I guess it's supposed to be a good thing, pride in a country. But sometimes I think it leads down ugly cul-de-sacs, I think.
I mean, it's meant to be inclusive, but when it creates division, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And there can be violence associated with it sometimes in like a football sense and words exchanged. I think it feels to me like a man thing, though, and I hate to generalize like that, but I mean, I don't see my girlfriends going like, yeah, we did it, West Ham, we did it.
Yeah, why do you think that is? Although, Lindsay, you are a football fan.
I am a football fan. Yeah. And it is, and it can be very tribal, but actually in a much smaller way, because I follow, God, you get more abuse about this, but I follow a particular team, so I won't name them because everyone hates them.
Chelsea?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
I hate Chelsea too.
Man United.
Sorry, everyone. but, you know, there's enormous tribal rivalry between a team that is 40 miles away from another team. It's very localised. Mm. And I kind of understand that from a sporting rivalry perspective, because I've grown up watching football and supporting a particular team. And so you kind of, you don't like your rivals. But I don't equate that with patriotism. I think patriotism is something, I find it very strange, the whole notion of patriotism. I mean, I'm from Britain, but I lived abroad as a kid. So maybe I, similar to you guys, have kind of, you know, I lived in Thailand. I didn't feel like I was from Thailand. Mm. But similarly, I didn't, in those years, I didn't grow up surrounded by all things British. And then I guess I moved around. So I don't have a kind of, I'm English or I'm British. I don't feel not proud to be British, but I don't have that real, like some people can get, And again, it can be a sporting thing, but just very, very entrenched in the where I'm from. And I sometimes wonder when there was obviously lots of conversation around the European referendum, which there were lots of phrases bandied around that I didn't really understand. But people say things like, I want my country back. I could never fully understand what people meant by that. And I sometimes wonder whether the notion of patriotism is something that people, not using it as an excuse, but it's an easy way to say, I don't feel happy with the way the world is going or the way my country is going or whatever it is. And you can lump it all in this patriotism pot. It doesn't really mean anything from what I can see. And also I'm married to a Scottish man and we live in England and, you know, obviously, so I go to Scotland a lot and I've never sort of thought my Scottish in-laws see me as a different type.
Yeah.
One time somebody said something about something being very English and then apologised to me. And it was a friend of their family, and I was a bit like, oh. It was a bit of a shock wake-up call. So I was like, do you see me as something different? Because I don't think
it's
like
other,
that. Yeah, I'm other to you. Whereas I have never thought like that.
I mean, and, I think that, you know, during the Scottish referendum is a really good point. That's when I started to feel patriotic. I felt really a sense of loss that Scotland might separate, and I feel like
that's really interesting. Yeah,
Scotland and Wales and Ireland. I felt, oh, we're gonna lose some, and then I really felt the sense of pride in the togetherness of all those nations as the UK.
Yeah,
I guess not being from here, I shared a lot of that. I was worried about that as well. I didn't want Scotland to secede from the Union, but it was like it was more the pragmatic reasons that it's sort of like surely we're more powerful together. There was no sort of emotional thing. And I think as an immigrant, I think because I'm a white person, people don't see me as an immigrant, but I am. I'm not from here. And I worry so much about where that language leads. You know, we're from this country and they're not from that country, and we don't want them. And I think that not everybody who's a patriot would identify with that.
No. And obviously, you know, going back to the original question, is it okay to be patriotic? Of course it is. If a person feels patriotic and loves the country that they're from, of course that's fine to feel that way.
But I wonder, is it also okay to kind of stand aside and observe about it rather than participate? I don't know.
It's a tricky time for it on. I think you can choose your level of engagement. I think it's lovely to put up the bunting and to have this street parade and to be proud of your government. Imagine, I'd love to be proud of my government. And to
it's been a long time.
Yeah, and to feel really happy about the things, the positive things that your country's doing, like when they do well in the Olympics and that, but not to let that bleed into extreme nationalism. And, you know, I mean, there's a difference. And I'm patriotic. I do. I really love the royal family and there are British things. I'm really proud that my daughter's got. I love her school and I love her accent and I love the NHS. I mean, I'm really patriotic about those things.
Yes.
Yeah, and there are lots of things that are great about Great Britain. Mm-hmm. But it's just whether you, I guess whether it's whether you would, if somebody said to me, am I patriotic? I'm not sure I'd know how to answer that.
That's how I feel. And I love living here and I feel very lucky to live here. So maybe I am. I don't know.
I think maybe this conversation reminds me of a lot of American celebrity women seem to have this conversation about feminism. They go, am I a feminist? Well, I don't know because I really love men and I wear a bra almost every day. And it's like, well, you are a feminist. You are. Yeah. You're not.
Did you earn your own money? You're a feminist.
Exactly. And so I think we are patriotic.
I don't think it's that simple with patriotism. But you can be patriotic,
but just not go overboard. And you can separate yourself from Jessica Ennis or go the other way and just attach yourself to any success of a celebrity. Like
claim it as your own.
When Karlie Kloss gets a campaign, I'm going to be like, we did it! We did it!
Well, that's the part of it I don't understand. But maybe I should just embrace it.
You weren't up running up that hill with a backpack of bricks at 6 a.m, were you?
No. Yeah.
But also remember...
Well done, the athletes.
Yeah, well done. But do you remember that, actually, that anyone who was in London at the time of 2012, were you in London there?
Yes.
When it was like, the mood was amazing. And I was the biggest cynic ever. I was like, oh, we'll never be able to pull this off. And actually we did. And it was incredible. And I stood very happily corrected. And it did feel like a sense of happiness and hopefulness and joy and optimism, going back to our original conversation, and it was a lovely thing, and maybe that's what patriotism is.
If that was the definition of it, I'd be well.
Yeah, maybe that's just the definition of happiness.
Yeah, but
like a happy society.
I felt really bad because I was very grumpy about the Olympics. Oh God, it's going to be a nightmare. It's going to be everywhere's going to be crowded. So I felt too guilty about the hypocrisy of being patriotic at that point. But it was a great time, I'll admit.
Oh, super Saturday. Yeah. It was fantastic.
And I'm really happy about when Canada does well in sport, or right now we have a prime minister that everyone likes. And I'm patriotic.
Yeah, I'm thinking about a duffel bag and a baseball bat and just dragging your prime minister to come and
do that. That would even
do some business
up.
Here.
And I feel like that's
which
patriotic.
Is probably a very unpatriotic thing to say.
I would defend the values of my country. Sure, I would. I'm a patriot.
Okay, that's fair enough. I'm up for that. Thank you so much, Catherine Ryan, for being here today.
Thanks, babes.
And come back and we'll discuss some more.
And in the meantime, I will keep enjoying Glamour magazine.
Yay!
Please do.
And where can we find... We can find you at CathBum on Twitter.
I'm on the cover of Glamour this month.
Yes.
You can pick that up.
You are looking stunning.
We spelled your name wrong, but...
Yeah. That's me. We did it. Whoever it is. That's
just
we
now
did
your
it.
Name spelt Nicole, but...
we did it! Yeah. I'll be touring soon, and you can watch How'd You Get So Rich on Channel 4. And please tweet me if you like it or if you don't. I don't care. I don't care about you.
And on that note, hey, it's okay. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to Glamour's Hey, It's Okay podcast. And we'd love you to visit iTunes and subscribe. Leave a review if you like, especially if it's a nice one, if you like what you hear. And we want to hear from you guys. If you've got some ideas about any topics you want us to discuss and debate very, very seriously about whether or not they're okay, tweet us at GlamourMagUK using the hashtag Hey, It's Okay. If you just can't get enough of us and you want to see some behind-the-scenes pictures of the Glamour's podcast, you need to get onto Instagram and search the hashtag GlamourHeyIt'sOkay. Thanks. very much to our friends at Wired Magazine. The Glamour Pod Cupboard is actually their pod cupboard. We love you guys. Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.